Morning, good morning. Well, as you can see, Roy and I, we decided that we could, for the rest of the week, we could do the casual thing. But when it came to Sunday, at least when we're in the pulpit, that we would dress in coat and tie. Now, since this is my only assignment today, Roy's got both of the preaching assignments today, I don't promise that I'll be in the suit and tie the rest of the day. But I've been faithful to our pledge together. It was difficult for both Roy and I, as we've already explained, to actually be in the pulpit without suit and tie. It's just been part of our lives, you know, as we've grown up and preached all these years, and so it was a challenge for both of us. But we agreed together that we would do it. Now, you saw Roy, he's been having a little bit of difficulty, even put a tie over top of his casual shirt there for a short period of time trying to do that. And, not only that, but I have heard from a good source that he has been challenged by others for the fact that he didn't have a tie on. So it went out on the internet, pictures of him preaching from the pulpit without suit and tie, and one of his former students, individual, matter of fact, an individual who presently seeks advice and counsel from him on a regular basis, chided him for not having a tie on. Roy, we're talking about the ties here. Not having a tie on the last couple of weeks. And I believe that John Reinheimer owes Roy an apology for giving Roy such a hard time for not having a tie on these times. Oh, well. Well, we are here. We've been studying through the scriptures, specifically. We've been focusing on We Three Kings. Plus, we're actually going to talk about more than three kings, but I just like the title, We Three Kings. And we've been looking at good kings that ended badly. Good kings that ended badly. And as I shared with you that first day, the reason we're looking at the good kings is we identify more with those and more likely to get a sense of a feeling that their lives might have something to say to us more than looking at the bad kings. It's like, well, I'm not like those bad kings anyway, so I really don't have anything I could learn from those bad kings. Now, I would suggest that's not true, but we're going to start with the good kings. Maybe someday we'll come back and we'll talk about some bad kings. But anyway, today we're going to talk about the man who did right in the sight of the Lord. The man who did right in the sight of the Lord. Any guesses as to which king we might be going to talk about today? The scripture describes him specifically this way. No one's going to take a chance because it could be a lot of them. It's Uzziah. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And there it is. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, we've seen that theme show up before in Asa's life. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He did right in the sight of the Lord. King Uzziah, description that was given to him. Now, notice he did it. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And it specifically says about Zechariah was one who had understanding through the visions of God. And that emphasis there again on this particular scripture. as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. I think that's good advice for each and every one of us. And since this theme keeps showing up, it's something that we ought to really pay attention to. All right, we're going to go on to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 7 and 8. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Geba, and the Minyites. And the Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Notice very specifically that the scripture describes God helping Uzziah. Now, we noticed before, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And we see it very clearly there. God is helping King Uzziah. God works in our lives. And again, we've talked about earlier, we've seen men and women who have been serving the Lord, and then something happens. They have served in an incredible role in a church as a leader, a lay leader within that congregation. They've been responsible for bringing others to the church, bringing people to the Lord. They've been a pillar in that church. And then for some reason, there's a change that happens. And they lose out completely in their walk with God. They drop out of church. They're no longer a part of church. And we're tempted to say, well, you know, there was something. They really didn't have it all together. They really weren't following after God. And as we looked at Asa's life, it became, you know, extremely clear. And even Saul's life, it became extremely clear that these were men and that had given themselves fully and completely to God. It even talks about with Saul that the Spirit of God came upon him. He was a man with a changed heart, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And what I'm saying is, just because there's been a point in our life when we can clearly testify to the fact that God is helping us, even if we can be described as one who did right in the sight of the Lord, doesn't guarantee what the future is going to be for us. We must focus on every day, where we are, what we're doing, whether we continue to seek the Lord. For as long as he sought the Lord helped him. And we see it. God is helping him. And he became very strong. Doesn't say he just became strong. He became very strong. That very's there for a reason. It's there for emphasis. It's there for comparison. It's there to show that this is not just, you know, a man who's sort of being helped by God, who's sort of being blessed by God, who's sort of prospering in his life. He became very strong. God helped him, and he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields and spears and helmets and body armor, bows and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners of for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So, notice it talks specifically about his fame being spread afar. He was being, because he was doing things that no one else was doing. He was making advances in warfare that no one else around him had made. Now, this appears to be before the time the catapult would have been invented. They say maybe 200 or 300 years after this is when they figured out how the, you know, those catapults that launch the stones. But yet at the same time, he had something that was more than just the normal kind of thing going on. He made engines of war. And so he had created some kind of mechanical devices that were enhancing his ability to fight, enhancing his ability to protect I forgot my water, Pam. I don't think there's any here. All right. I do that every day. You got a plan? Someone's got a plan for me. All right, great. Because I can feel it being needed. I thank you. To the rescue. Ah, it's a fast plan. All right. Thank you so much. I have every day set a water out. Every day, got in the tabernacle, and every day had to go back for it. All right.
Good plan.
Thank you. All right. I always appreciate the help that comes from the crowd. And I'll put up with the rest of it. All right. So, he made engines of war. These were obviously devices that were, you know, that enhanced his ability to fight, to defend the city in which he was in. It obviously had something to do with being able to launch the stones. It wasn't the catapult, but still great stones were being, you know, for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. So he was, must have been shooting those great stones somehow. Wasn't catapulting them as we would later see the advancement in war, but still was something that was allowing larger stones to be thrown longer distance than what others were doing. You know, previous to that, you know, when they came up against the castle, they get the stones and they drop them on people's heads, you know, and, you know, they were limited to the how big the stone could be and how far the stone could be sent out from the wall. But he had figured somehow to shoot those great stones. And because of that, he had an advantage over his enemies. And that advantage was causing his fame to be spread afar. Now, the reality is that whenever you get in a position of leadership, you start developing some level of fame. I find it actually kind of comical for myself. We Pam and I were in Kenya, and we went to a graduation. I'm now the president of WGM, and we were sitting there, and I really was not used to this. As we were sitting there, here comes someone and takes our picture. And he goes, sits down. And it's like, okay, that was different, you know. And we're not, maybe 30 seconds later, here comes somebody else up, takes our picture, and goes, sits down. So, okay. And then comes somebody up. For about 2 hours, every 30 to 90 seconds, someone came and took our picture. It's like, this is weird. It's like, I'm not used to this. I mean, this was that first year that I was president. I've been president about 3 or 4 months at that point, you know, and it's like, you know, I had to paste a smile on my face because, you know, they kept coming and taking pictures and taking pictures and taking pictures. Before I was the WGM president, I was on Facebook. I'm not a real big Facebook person. I really am not. I'm there more because that's what you're supposed to do. I don't really look at it. I don't really post. I do, but it's very methodical. I actually got my team at WGM helping me, do the postings and things. And then Pam, when we're traveling and ministering around the world, she does most of the posts. She wasn't able to go with me to Japan. We were just in Japan. I was just in Japan a week or so ago. And we had two. She had two deaths in her family. An aunt died and an uncle died, and she wasn't able to go. So I had to do my own post, and it was like, oh my goodness, But anyway, I'm not a big person on Facebook, and I had a few friends. I had about 200 friends when I became WGM president. Now I have over 1,000 friends. I don't even know who half these people are. It's just people have requested, because I'm the WGM president. There comes some recognition with that piece, and I try to be very careful with who they are, and I try to check them out and everything. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't even know what's going to happen, because I now have over 1,000 friends. But I still remember that Dan Schaefer has 200 friends. Dan Schaefer, WGM president, has 1,000. Well, that's almost 1,100 friends. There's a difference that comes there. Because he was the king, he was developing fame. Because he was a king that was being extremely successful, and because there were things that were happening, his fame was beginning to spread. Because good things were happening, because he was becoming strong, because he was developing these kinds of engines of war, his fame was beginning to spread. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Marvelously helped. We saw earlier in the last that God helped him. Now we see that he's marvelously helped. God's not just helping him. God is marvelously helping him. Why? Because he's seeking God. He's seeking God, and God is helping him. But God is not just helping him. God is marvelously helping him. This is a man who was doing right in the sight of the Lord. And because he was doing right in the sight of the Lord, and because he was seeking the Lord, because he was following after the Lord was marvelously helping him. Well, but when he became strong, most of you already knew this about Uzziah. You were just waiting for me to get to this. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. Now, it doesn't just say his heart was proud. Notice the little word in front of it. He was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord in Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So, notice when it happened. When? This all happened when he became strong. At the point at which he became strong was the point at which he began to have challenges. When he became strong, at that point when he became strong was when his heart became proud. Now, I want to go back and look at the scripture we just looked at a moment ago, and remind you who it was that made him strong. He didn't become strong on his own. He was marvelously helped in becoming strong. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. So who was helping him? Now, I'm going to ask that not as a rhetorical question. Who was helping him? God. God was the one that was helping him. But when he became strong, that's when he had a problem. So it was God that was helping him become strong. But once he became strong, he had a problem. When he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Unfaithful. Think about that word for a minute. He was unfaithful. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? Faithful means that we are trustworthy, that we are being obedient, that we are following what God has asked us to do, what God has instructed us to do. A faithful follower is one that is loyal, who's always there, who's you can depend on. He had been faithful to God because he had been seeking God. And as long as he sought God, God was prospering him. But there came a point where he was unfaithful. The same word, and we just took the U in and put it in front of it. Loyal and no longer loyal. Seeking, no longer seeking. He was unfaithful. His heart became so proud that he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, we got some brave priests here and some valiant men. Then Azariah, the priest, entered after him and went, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. I love the fact that it says valiant men. I mean, we're going to take on the king here. It's, you know, the guy who, you know, has charge of everything. The guy who controls our lives. The guy who, kings have been known for, just taking them out. When people oppose them, they're just, at best, you find yourself in the dungeon somewhere. And at worst, they're carrying you off to your grave. Valiant men, 80 of them. And Azariah, the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him. Now, I'm curious here. I don't know that I got an answer for this, Roy. Maybe you can give me an answer right now. Or we'll ask John Reinheimer. He's the one that gives an answer. We'll put him on the spot. How did he collect 80 men so quickly? It just seems to me that he must have had some inclination of what was going on. You know, on the spur of the moment, how do you get 80 men who are willing to put their lives at risk before the king and say, hey, the king, I just saw the king going in and he's carrying an incense burner. I think he's going to burn incense. Can you guys go with me? I want to confront him. You know, he must have had some inclination that this was coming. And he said, something's happening in the king. Something's going on in the king's life. There's some issue that's there. And I'm afraid of what he might do. You know, I'm getting the sense that he might even go into the temple and he might try to, lead the worship himself. Would you be willing to stand with me? And the first man says, no, you're not. You know, you're on your own. And he goes around until he finds 80 valiant men, 80 men that are willing to put their lives at risk. I just have a feeling this was not the spur of the moment kind of an event where he finds 80 people to stand with him. But he sought them out. He knew which ones that he could depend on. Because he's been with them. You know, if I was that that priest. There would be people in here. Some of you I don't know well enough that I might go to and ask. But I know a Doug Carter, and I would think a Doug would stand with me, and a Brett, and a John, and a Roy. And if I have left you out, I'm going to stop right there, because I don't want you to think that I wouldn't depend on you. But these are men that I've known for a long time. And I know who they are, and I know they would stand. I just have a feeling he had found 80 men that would stand with him if the king did something stupid. And so there he was, 80 valiant men. And he entered in after him. King goes in first, priest follows right after him. And the 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah, the king. They didn't advise Uzziah, the king. They didn't encourage, cajole. You know, they didn't, you know, get his attention, you know, and get him sidetracked so that he would do something else. They opposed him. They stood between him and the altar. They got in his way. They interfered with him. They came in after him, but they passed him up and stood as an army between him and the altar. They opposed the king. I mean, they are putting it all on the line. They opposed the king. And they said, "Get out!" I don't think this was any, playing of games or whatsoever. They said, "Get out." I think they forcefully said, "Get out." They didn't just say, "Well, O king, if it pleases you, I think it would be advisable if you didn't move forward any farther." No, they opposed him and instructed him, commanded him to get out. "For you have been unfaithful." There's that word again. Unfaithful. "And you will have no honor from the Lord." Now, this is the man whose fame was spreading wide. The man who people were coming to know as this great king. His fame is increasing. And now they're saying, "You'll have no honor." A man who was faithful, seeking after God, following after him. As long as he sought God, God prospered him. He was faithful and had become unfaithful. He was full of fame, and now they were saying he'll have no honor. Do you see the contrast that's happening here in this verse, the transition that's taking place? It's extremely interesting. The whole process that's going on there. But Uzziah, with the censer in his hand, he's got it, man. He's ready. He's got the censer in his hand for burning the incense. Was enraged. He is not just a little ticked off. He's enraged. He's not just the, guys, I don't know what you're doing, but, sit down. We'll be fine. He's enraged. You can see his face turning 5 different colors. You can almost see the steam rolling from his... Now, this is where I need Roy up here, describing exactly what this man would be looking like. I can just see Roy's kind of description of what Uzziah was in this particular moment. I mean, there's bumps that are, popping. Oh, I do believe I hear the alarm. There, it's 10:02. We'll have to have our bumps pop out again in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we're so challenged by all across the world. There are, everywhere we look, fields white for harvest. Lord, help us to be faithful, not to be, as Uzziah, unfaithful. Help us to be faithful continually faithful, to seek after you. You have told us to come to you, Lord. You have told us to come to you and pray to you that you would send workers into this harvest field. We see the harvest field, but we see so few workers. I thank God for the workers that are here, for the fact that we have WGM missionaries that you have called and you have sent out, the Arnotts and the Mayos. But Lord, we need so many more. Hear our prayer, O God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Old Uzziah, the blood vessels are just popping up on his forehead. You could just see him there. You can just see the gritting of his teeth. He's enraged. It reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar as the three Hebrew children refuse to bow down to the idol that he's made. He's enraged. This man, you know, if he could spit fire, he would at that moment. But while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. While he was enraged, it happened. They opposed him. I think it's very likely if God hadn't intervened, they would have found their way to the prison, if not worse. He was so angry. And then the leprosy broke out on him. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. Notice that. They hurried him out of there. It wasn't going to happen, but then God intervened. And the moment that it developed on his face, the leprosy developed on his forehead at that very moment, they hurried him out. And notice, it said, he himself also hastened to get out. He himself also hastened to get out. The moment he recognized what was going on, the moment he realized the Lord had smitten him, it suddenly became clear to him what was going on. And he realized what he had done. And now the fear of the Lord has come into his heart. And he can't get out of that temple fast enough. You know, they were, hurrying him out of there. And I think they may have initially been encouraging him. But I just get the sense that he's almost at a running pace by the time he gets to the back of the temple. He's getting out of there. He moves from being enraged to fear and trembling and running from the presence of the Lord. Notice what it says. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house. He's no longer in the palace. He lived in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Cut off from the house of the Lord. Couldn't go to the temple anymore. Couldn't go. And notice what else. And Jotham, his son, was king, was over the king's house. So now, King Uzziah, who had become very strong, King Uzziah, whose fame was spreading around the world, King Uzziah, who had become so proud, was no longer over the king's house. His son is now in charge of the palace. His son is now calling all the shots of what's going on inside that royal place. And He's not only over the king's house, his son is judging the people of the land. Not only is Uzziah not running the palace, Uzziah is not running the country anymore. From fame till he lost the honor of the Lord. From faithfulness to unfaithfulness that took him from fame to now he is a leper in a separate house, not running the palace, not running the country. From the strength that he had to now he's just kind of waiting out life until he dies. Well, what happened to Uzziah? How did Uzziah get into such a mess? How is it possible that this happened to this man who, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him, who was being helped by God, and he had become very strong? And his fame was spreading all over the region. What happened to him? Well, you say it's easy. He became proud. It's very clear. The scripture tells us he became proud. And that is the reason that this all happened. His heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord. And so we're tempted to say there's an easy answer to what happened to Uzziah. And it's right there. He became so proud. And that pride led to his corrupt action, and that pride led to him being unfaithful to the Lord. Period. End of story. Well, I would like to suggest to you that there's more to the story than that. It says his heart became proud when he became strong. So yes, the pride is what leads to these things, but it was the strength when he became strong that led to this. And I think we can go back a step further. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So his pride came from his strength. His strength came from the Lord's blessings on him. Now, I'm not putting this at the feet of the Lord, so give me a moment or two. Don't stone me yet. Don't rush me out of the back of the tabernacle. Hopefully there's no leprosy that's about to appear on my head. I just want you to see the sequence. He became proud. When did he become proud? When he became strong. He became strong because the Lord marvelously helped him. Where was his help coming from? It was coming from God. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And so, the help from the Lord came from Uzziah seeking the Lord. So, follow my sequence. He was seeking the Lord. God prospered him. God helped him. God made him strong. Out of that help from God, he became very strong. And when he became strong, that's when he became proud. Let's keep going back. There's one step further back that I want you to see. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. That's what we just saw. This would suggest there came a point in which he stopped seeking God. See the logic? As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. That, by its very logic, says there came a point in his life when he stopped seeking God. Well, when was that? When was that point at which he stopped seeking God? The scripture actually tells us, and we read it together today. Did you notice it? The scripture tells us when he stopped seeking God. It was in part of our reading. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. He sought God. When? In the days of Zechariah. After the days of Zechariah, he stopped seeking God. Now, who was Zechariah? We don't know anything more about him than what is revealed right here in this particular verse of Scripture. He was obviously a prophet, much like Daniel. He understood all kinds of visions and dreams, as that's what it's saying about him. Go back to the Scripture for a second. Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. He was getting visions from God. He had understanding. He was advising Uzziah from those. And as long as he was advising Uzziah from the visions that he was getting, Uzziah continued to seek God. He's not the minor prophet Zechariah that will write one of the minor prophet books that we have in the Old Testament, because that Zechariah lived a couple hundred years after Uzziah. So unless Zechariah, the minor prophet, lived to be 300 years old or so, it's a different guy. We don't know anything about him. But we do know that he was being a spiritual advisor to Uzziah. And regardless of who he was, he served as a guide to Uzziah, and Uzziah sought God as long as Zechariah was advising him. As long as Zechariah was advising him, Uzziah continued to seek after God. So let's put it back in order. I started at the back of where he got proud, and I worked to the front. Now let's put it in order of how he got from being one who really was being prospered by God to one who was almost in exile as a king, lost all of his power. So as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And when he was strong, he became proud. And of course, when he became proud, all this problem happened. But I left something out. Let's put that in the complete order. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And we like to jump this next step. I mean, when he became strong, he became proud. But hear this step. He stopped seeking God once Zechariah was gone. Probably, because it says the days of Zechariah, so it probably is referring to the fact that Zechariah died at this point and was no longer there to advise him. And that's when he became proud. Zechariah apparently was around all through the rise of Uzziah's strength and power, and his fame was spreading. Zechariah was apparently there and advising him and helping him and giving him the things that he needed. And he became strong. And about the time when he really was at the height of his power, Zechariah died. And without Zechariah's presence, Uzziah stopped seeking God. And when he wasn't seeking God, he began to focus on himself and focus on his strength. And that's when he became proud. Yeah. Yeah, and I would, you know, I believe that's exactly true. And I would believe that the reality is that we, each and every one of us, can be that kind of person. It's not like there's a person who, that's something that other people have to worry about. It is what each and every one of us have to worry about. God is working in every one of us. God wants to help every one of us. God wants to prosper every one of us. God wants to strengthen every one of us. God wants to, He's gifted us, and He wants us to use those gifts, and He wants to develop those gifts even greater. And every one of us has the same potential possible outcome as what we saw in Uzziah's life. Because if we're really seeking the Lord, He is going to prosper us. If we're really seeking the Lord, we're going to become better and better at what we're doing. If we're really seeking the Lord, our strengths, our abilities, our talents are going to become more and more prevalent to everyone else around us. If we're really seeking the Lord, our fame will grow, whether it's in a small circle of influence or a large circle of influence. Our fame is going to grow. People will say, there's a man, there's a woman who really loves God, who's being really used of God. Every one of us walks that same path. But here is the good news. We don't have to end up like Uzziah. We can prosper. We can be helped of God. We can become marvelously strong. We can be at the very top of our game. We can be the very best that God intended us to be without becoming proud. Whew. Well, thank you for helping me, because we've explored the slippery slope of Saul and how he went down a slippery slope, and he gradually moved. We saw with Asa, he stepped off a ledge and suddenly was there. But for Uzziah, when it happened in Uzziah's life, when he became proud, when he stopped seeking God, was when he lost that counselor in his life. When he lost that advisor that was helping him, connecting him back to God. That one that kept challenging him and pushing him back to God. When he lost that person in his life and didn't replace that person, that's when he got in trouble. So for each and every one of us, Uzziah challenges us, to look at what our advisor is. Uzziah's challenge was different than that of Saul's. He didn't have the same problem as Saul. He didn't have the same problem as Asa. The advice of dealing with insecurities that we saw when we looked at Saul's life would not have helped Uzziah. He didn't seem to be a man who was really struggling with his insecurities. The advice that God gave to Asa would have made Uzziah's problem worse. Be strong and do not lose courage. I mean, that was his problem. He became so strong. So, that advice would not have been the advice for him. But he needed to understand that Zechariah's death represented a crisis in his own faith. One that could lead to him stop seeking God. And because he didn't replace Zechariah in his life, because he was focusing on himself and not on the advice that he was getting from the people of God around him. And it was, in Zechariah, the role that he had in his life was helping to keep him seeking the Lord. It wasn't Zechariah that was making the difference of whether he walked with God or not walked with God. But Zechariah kept him focused on the Lord. Instead of self-centered, like it was just described, he kept him focused on God. It wasn't that Zechariah was his salvation. Zechariah was the one that pointed him to the one who was his salvation. Zechariah is the one that kept him seeking after the Lord. So the application, we need to understand what might cause us to stop seeking God. What might cause us to stop following Him? Uzziah was a man who was right in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah was a man that was seeking after God. Uzziah was a man that was following after God. Uzziah was a man that was being prospered by God. And yet there came a point when he stopped seeking God. For him, it came when his advisor stopped pointing him to God. And now he was self on his own. And somehow he lost sight of the fact that he needed to seek God. Ask yourself, what might occur in my life that would unintentionally cause me to stop seeking God? I think it's a question every one of us have to ask. Because what we're seeing is good kings that ended badly. Inertia. Amen. And every one of us has to ask this question. This is not an issue that any of us can ignore. Again, you know, it's not that I'm trying to, you know, put fear in our hearts. It's not that we walk, you know, on a squiggly line and we might fall off any moment and the grace of God, you know, isn't able to carry us through. I don't want us to think that, you know, that we have to every moment be afraid of whether we're going to lose on our salvation or not. But as the scripture I pointed out earlier, we need to be sober. We need to think these things through. We need to be aware of the possibilities and keep seeking God. For as long as we seek Him, He will prosper us. God bless you. Lord, go with us now. Take the message that we have heard from You. Lord, the words that Your people have even spoken into that by Your grace. And let us walk out of here knowing that our faith has been strengthened and knowing that we have the potential of walking with You to the very last breath that we draw. And so every day, Lord, may we seek You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.